just judging by my bio, what a long, strange trip it's been. really excited to be here with you today. I've been with Hexo Corp for the last 18 months of my life. It's been an incredible journey, and I'm really honored to sort of share with you today. Thought I'd talk about, introduce you to Hexo, who we are, talk about our commitment to public health and public safety, give you a sense as to our plans for the city of Belleville and what we're going to do here, talk to you a bit about where our industry is going, some trends that help you understand the rapid pace at which we are evolving, and then, time permitting, I'd be happy to take questions. If you want to have a I'll stick around afterwards. If you want to have a one-on-one, we're here to do that as well. Got a bunch of my colleagues here with me this morning. We have our human resources team that's going to help us get set up in Belleville. And I've got my colleague with me, Laura Kirkamaki, who's our Director of Public Affairs. So, which button? So there's our intro. This is an image of our existing facility in Gatineau. It's 1.3 million square feet of cultivation space and production space. This will all be completed and licensed. Right now we have over 300,000 square feet of facility licensed. This will all be completed. The other 1 million will be completed and licensed by the end of this year. Once we're completed, we'll be in a position to produce approximately 108,000 kilograms of cannabis a year. This will make us one of the largest producers, not only in Canada, but also in the world. Just a bit about Hexo. We were the 17th license awarded under the MMPR, which is the old Marijuana for Medical Purposes regulations created by Health Canada. So the 17th company, private sector company, to be given a license to cultivate cannabis. Today, we are publicly listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. We are publicly listed on the New York Stock Exchange, the Junior Exchange. But in the space of really 6 years, we've gone from two young entrepreneurs, 28, 29, working in a basement, to this public company that's worth over $1.5 billion today. So I think one of the things is just a meteoric rise in terms of what our company's been able to do in such a short period of time. We have facilities in Gatineau, in Messonger. This is our cultivation space. We are a partner with the SQDC, which is the Société Québécoise de Cannabis, in the province of Quebec. We're responsible for operating the warehouse that runs all the online order fulfillment and shipping. We have a facility in Greece. We have a joint venture in Greece that is getting underway that will provide us with a gateway into the medical cannabis market in the European Union. And our next big thing is coming to Belleville, where we've taken over the Sears facility, the 2 million square feet, and we want to build a cannabis supercluster in that facility. More on that in the presentation. That's us. A couple of things that I'd like to share with you about us is we are... we are lucky. We have a joint venture with Molson Coors Canada to develop a whole line of cannabis beverages. We're very proud of this. We were the second company in the cannabis space to have a joint venture with a leading beverage company. Miller Coors is the seventh largest brewer in the world. So we are working with the Canadian parent company to develop a line of cannabis beverages that will be, some will have THC, the psychoactive component in cannabis. Others will just be CBD. So even something like a vitamin water with CBD. So this is a very exciting partnership with us, and we're hoping to bring them to set up their facility in Belleville here to create more jobs and more economic opportunity for this community. We're known as a product innovator. This is something where, in a space where it's very difficult to innovate, given the rules and regulations governing how we operate, we're very proud of the fact that we've been acknowledged by the industry as a leader in innovation. The last 2 or 3 years at the at our industry awards, we've won most innovative product twice now in the last 2 years. So this is something we're really proud of. We are known for our Elixir product, which you see on the left side of the screen, which is a sublingual peppermint cannabis spray that delivers controlled dosages of THC. We have a THC version. We have a CBD version as well that's uniquely with CBD. But again, controlled dosages. Frankly, this product looks it looks like lipstick. You know, I have so many great stories working in this business. So early on we had a delegation from the United States Embassy come in because they and they were, you know, the United States is responsible for the border, and so you can think of they were trying to wrap their heads around what legalized cannabis would mean for the border. And I remember in that conversation, they were quite comfortable in terms of the their ability of border officers to be able to detect cannabis flower, you know, that the sort of bud and the smell and the odor, and they'd have dogs. And then I said, well, you know, you need to start thinking about where we're going. And then I pulled out, we have a sampler, no THC in it. And I said, this is actually the future of our business. And their eyes just popped out of their heads and said, you know, I could see them scribbling down furiously, like, you know, there's a whole new range of products and a whole new thing that's about to happen in this industry. And Hexo really is at the forefront of that industry. We're a company that's really focused on developing innovative products, not so much for the current cannabis user, but for the new cannabis user. We'll talk a bit about that later on in the presentation. Just Jill, just like tug on your ear if I need to pick it up a bit. So,
it kicks me off.
You probably know this already. You might not, so just indulge me. The twin pillars of the legal cannabis industry in Canada are protect. Why are governments doing this? One is to protect public health, and two is to protect public safety. So the regulatory environment that we operate in is all framed by those two key public policy objectives. And I think it's very important for the people, the communities that we live in, that we operate in, and the businesses that we want to partner with to understand that we have made a significant investment in these two areas so that, you know, we are ready to basically work with our communities and with prospective partners in these communities. So when it comes to our commitment to public health, so as a condition of our licensing, we adhere to good production practices. So this is an international standard governing how we operate. We adhere to international EU pharmacopoeia standards. Whenever I bring someone in to our facility from the pharmaceutical industry, they marvel at the fact that our facilities are cleaner than their facilities, and these are facilities that make pharmaceutical drugs. We have over 100 standard operating procedures that govern how we operate and how we produce everything, and these are documented with the regulator, and we have to adhere to these. We are subject to unannounced inspections. Shouldn't say this with the chief of police in front of us, but unannounced inspections at any time by the regulator. No advance warning. Basically, what will happen is that our compliance and legal team will get a message that says that the inspector is on the site. Okay? We have video cameras and controlled access to every door in our facility, and the regulator is allowed to come in and ask for video of any particular visit. So, for instance, Mayor Panciuk, when you came to visit us, the regulator is in a position to come in and say, because we also have to track everyone that comes to visit our facility, they're in a position to say, the mayor of Belleville was at the facility on such and such a date. They were in this particular part of the facility. We'd like to see that video. So we are obligated, legally obligated, to store this video for over a year. And we have unannounced inspections by the regulator at any time. Not finally, but all our products are traceable from seed to sale. Okay, we have complete traceability throughout the supply chain of our production processes as well as of our client processes. So if in the event of a recall, we're able to identify and go out to our partners and say, these are the lot numbers, these are the product numbers that are subject to the recall. So this is a condition of our license that we have complete traceability, and we have complete tracking of our product throughout our entire production processes, so that, you know, there's frankly, there is no likelihood of diversion happening in a licensed producer. Finally, all our products are tested by an independent third-party laboratory before we are allowed to release them to the public. So each batch has to be tested, and the test results have to be shared with the regulator prior to us getting the permission to release that batch of products. This is a diagram of our quality assurance processes. We have over 400 individual quality control touch points in our QA process that govern our flour, our oil products, and then our decarb products, which I showed you previously, which are a dried form of cannabis that's ready to be consumed without having to heat it. You know, I think one of the things I want to leave you with today is that most of us think about the cannabis industry as the flowers, the cannabis bud, and the smoking. The future of our industry is in non-smokable products. We are moving rapidly away from that delivery experience. We will always, that thing will always exist, but the future of this business is in non-smokable products. And when it comes to security, we have two sort of main parameters. Okay, one is with respect to the people that work at a licensed producer, the people that work at HEXO. So our directors and our senior people that are responsible under the regulations are all subject to enhanced record checks. These are done, I believe, at the RCMP. And this is a condition of our license, that our directors and our senior officers all have to go through an enhanced police record check system. All the employees at HEXO have a police record check. So they have to basically have a clean police record in order to come and work with us. One other thing I don't have on here is that we are the preferred supplier to the Quebec government, the SQDC. We have a five-year contract to provide almost, I think it's $1 billion worth of cannabis to the SQDC. And one of the conditions of that license is that we had to submit an application to the Autorité des Marchés Financiers, so the public sector market authority in the province of Quebec, that vetted all our directors and vetted all our sources of financing, including any sources of offshore money that would have come into the company. And so a deep, even another layer of verification to make sure that our company is, I guess, responsible and good corporate citizens. Other dimension to security, okay, is around the fact that we have to have a secure perimeter. We have to have controlled access into every door. Every time a door is opened, you need a card, and that is tracked, and there's a permanent record of everything that happens in our facility. Everyone goes into a room, everyone goes out of a room, that is tracked. We have cameras at every door. We have cameras throughout every part of our facility. And so what are the benefits? What are the public health benefits and the public safety benefits of this regime? And I think just a couple of things. One is that we know what's in our product. So every person that buys a HEXO product or a product from another licensed producer in Canada is instantly made aware of the THC levels in that product and the CBD levels in that product. Practically speaking, you know, one of the things that means is I hear a lot from people, you know, I used to consume cannabis when I was in university, but the stuff is way too strong, I don't know what's in it, and I just can't take it anymore. And so now what we're bringing to market is a product that has some very low doses of THC, so very low doses of the psychoactive, and very high levels of the CBD, which is the more therapeutic. There's also an effect in the interaction between these two things, but I think one is you've got an informed consumer. Okay, major difference from the illicit market, where you have no idea what you're purchasing other than maybe the brand name or the street name of the product. Other thing is, we are very controlled in terms of the pesticides, and we can only use a very limited range of biological pesticides to control our production. In the illicit market, there clearly are no controls on the use of pesticides. So what you see a lot of is the use of pesticides that are designed for the flower business. So, you know, that help roses bloom and tulips bloom. And these products are clearly not fit for human consumption. All our product is irradiated. So that means that it is free of fungus, which is a major challenge in the illicit business. You're getting a product that's full of fungus. You're getting also getting a product that's full of bacteria. So this is another advantage to the legal market, is that the product is markedly different. And it's going to take us time to help the consumer understand these things, because we can't advertise and we're very limited in how we can talk about our product. But it's going to take us time. And I think once a consumer understands that our product is markedly different than what you're going to get in the illicit market, you'll really see, you know, all we want is the opportunity to compete. And as I mentioned, we have seed-to-sale tracking and independent third-party testing. So a markedly different product. So let's cut to the chase. What are we doing in Belleville? We have a hub-and-spoke business model. This is really based on the fact that we're the hub. We are experts in cannabis. We understand cannabis licensing. We understand the regulatory processes needed to be able to get a license and to be able to operate in this sector. Okay. We understand the technology around taking cannabis, the extraction process, the emulsification processes, to be able to create the cannabis molecule. The future of our business is in the cannabis molecule. We're going to talk about that in a second. But that's where this is going. So we are experts in the technology. We're experts in the intellectual property. We're experts in the licensing. We're experts in this business. That's our core competency. We're going to remain focused on that. And how we're going to grow is through joint ventures, the spokes, with leading companies in their particular industry categories. That's one of the reasons it's so exciting for us to be here in Belleville, is because of the range of Fortune 500 companies you have in this town that operate in the food, the beverage sector, the pharmaceutical sector. This is really the kinds of relationships that we want to cultivate, and this is really the direction that we want to move in. So what does this mean practically? I think you're going to see a beverage opportunity. So we have, as I mentioned before, the partnership with Molson Coors. It's going to be called Trust Beverages. We're hoping to bring that facility to Belleville, create even more jobs here. We want an edibles partner. So there's, I'll talk a bit about the edibles space and the economic opportunity there. You're going to see, we're looking for companies that are experts in vaping. The whole cosmetics industry, I think, is when you think about skincare, this CBD product is an anti-inflammatory. A friend of ours texted us last night, one of the big hot items in the Oscars gift bag was a soap made with hemp seed and CBD. So you're going to see a lot of opportunity in the skincare business and in the cosmetic business around cannabis and CBD. And then the other one is going to be health and wellness, where I think you're going to see this is a food additive. CBD is a food additive. You're going to see all kinds of like beverages and wellness products come out of this. I wouldn't, you know, I'm at the podium, so I get to say, predict outrageous things. But I foresee a time when you're going to be able to buy your Tylenol with CBD, or your other pain or anti-inflammatory products will have CBD in them. And those will be available on the shelf. So as you know, or you might not, we have the Sears facility. We have 2 million square feet facility. HEXO is going to take, I think, 600,000 square feet of that, leaving Math Challenge Pierre with about 1.6 million square feet of space. And what we want to do with Belleville is we want to make it a cluster, a center of innovation for cannabis. One of the advantages we bring to the table is the ability to license this entire facility, to bring partners in and say to our partners, we've got the license, we understand the GPP, we understand the standard operating procedures, we in a sense have a turnkey opportunity for you to get into this business. The other thing that we bring to the table is access to markets. We are a licensed provider, we're a provider of cannabis to the major crown corporations running cannabis. So in a sense, if I could leave you with one message today, it's that, you know, we're ready to partner and we're looking for opportunities in this town. And I think what we bring to the table is a turnkey opportunity to get going. Trust me, our business moves very fast. Okay, so now what's HEXO going to bring to town here? Ryan and I were joking that this number adds up to 420. which is quite the number in the cannabis business. So what are we going to see here? So cultivation will happen in Gatineau. Okay? Processing, product development, shipping is going to happen in Belleville. Belleville is going to be the hub. Okay, we're going to take product, dried flower from Gatineau, and we're going to come here and we're going to have a major extraction and emulsification facility. So extraction, taking the cannabis flower, turning it into cannabis resin, so a very highly concentrated form of cannabis resin. And then emulsification is treating that resin so that it is water soluble. Cannabis does not dissolve. It's fat soluble. It's not water soluble. So there's a whole bunch of processes and technologies that are happening now around transforming the cannabis molecule so that it can be ready for a CPG environment. And I wanted to say something before I get into... We're good on time, eh? It's been really... I'm looking for the right word. Fantastic. Not a good word. I'll get a better one. For us to come into this community and be greeted the way that we've been greeted so far. The chief of police and the police force has really reached out to us and said, we want to share, we want to make this a successful entry into Belleville. They've opened up a channel with us. It's really, irony aside, it's really heartwarming for us to be able to see a community come in like this. When I think of the mayor and the city, and when I think of Karen and the work and the availability that they've done, and when I think of Chris King at Quinte Economic Development, here we have a community that, and we live and we work in this every day. So for us, this pace and what's happening has become second nature. But I think it's probably very new for most of you. And I think for us to see the leadership in this city approach us and be open to us is a very positive signal for us. And it's something that I think we appreciate as a company because, frankly, we have an opportunity together, as I say, to make history. Like, this is, think about, when was the last time that Canada was a global leader in an industry? It's frankly the fur trade, which is what Canada was founded on. 300, Hudson's Bay Company, 400 years ago. So we have a chance here, okay, to be global leaders in this business. Like, this doesn't stop at Belleville. This starts at Belleville, and where this goes is the world. So I wanted to give you a sense as to the kinds of trends or some, this is my thought leader piece in terms of where we're going. So the metaphor I always talk about is we're getting ready for the third wave of the cannabis industry. Okay, so to borrow from Alvin Toffler, this first wave was when you had the government of Canada acknowledge that it was not good at cultivating cannabis for medical users, and then decided to license private sector players in this business. So that's 2013, 6 years ago, if my math is right. Okay? That's the first wave where you have private sector companies able to move into the cannabis business. The second wave was October 17 last year, okay, which was legal adult use cannabis. The fact that Crown agencies of the government of Ontario, the government of Alberta, the government of Quebec are now selling cannabis is a mind-boggling shift, I would argue, in a very, very short period of time. And kudos to Canadians and kudos to the citizens of Belleville for opening themselves up and allowing these kinds of changes to happen. Like, we'll look back on this and go, man, that was quick. And then the third wave is about to happen now, and this is a giant wave when you think about it. Is we are putting cannabis in non-cannabis products, and that is about to happen. That's legal at the latest October 17 this year. So we're getting ready. We're on the cusp of this massive wave, okay, of these sort of cannabis cowboys coming in and starting to work with major industries to help them understand and embrace the economic opportunities around cannabis. So I think, you know, and I think one of the metaphors or the images of this wave is the cannabis molecule. Okay, there are over 140 cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. Okay, I've talked about really two of them, THC and CBD. Okay, and every day there is more research coming out in terms of the therapeutic benefits of these cannabinoids. But that's only two of the 140. So we're on the cusp of a major investment in research and innovation around these cannabinoids. Again, Canada, we sit at the precipice of a tremendous economic opportunity. And because of the constraints that the Americans face in terms of getting in this business, we have an good news is we've got an opportunity. Bad news is we have to move fast, and we need your help in order to move. You are people that talk to decision makers. You know, you are people that politicians listen to. My goal coming here today is to earn your confidence so that you'll talk to them and say, you know, this cannabis industry, they're creating good jobs, they're creating good opportunity, they're doing research, they're investing in our communities. Ease off on them a bit. So I want to talk about cannabis edibles. 15% of the market of the cannabis sales, pardon me, in U.S. states where cannabis is legal, is cannabis edibles. 15%. So if you look at, you know, they say the mature market in Canada is $8 to $10 billion a year, in terms of cannabis. So 15% of that. Let's go again. Math challenge, Pierre. Got about a $1 billion opportunity on the table here. $1 billion opportunity. This I've got a $1 billion industry that's about to be created in 6 months. Okay, and then this slide here is a researcher from Dalhousie University asked Canadians, were they aware of these edibles products, and were they interested in consuming these edibles products? And the interesting slide for me is this one here. So 51, and this is not a survey of cannabis users. This is Gen Pop Canadians. 51% of Canadians say they're interested in trying an edibles cake. Cookie, brownie. Wow. That's 15 million Canadians, 15 million adult Canadians are open to this new product in a $1 billion industry that's about to be created in 5 months. Other trend, we've talked about this, is CBD, cannabidiol. It's known as the therapeutic cannabinoid. It's non-psychoactive. You have major developments at the international level pushing for the descheduling of cannabidiol. You have the World Health Organization, which has just commissioned a report, and so they're going to study it to basically do two things. One is to take medical cannabis off the international conventions governing narcotics. I think they've identified that, you know, medical cannabis is legal in over 30 countries right now. There are incredible benefits going to happen from this. So let's take this out of the convention governing methamphetamines, LSD, heroin, cocaine. Different products. So you've got a descheduling. And then even more interesting, well, not more interesting, but the World Health Organization is recommending that CBD be taken out of that convention altogether so that this product be, in a sense, freed from the constraints governing narcotics. So a tremendous opportunity development on the global stage. The United States just in, I think it was December, passed the Farm Bill, which basically makes hemp-derived CBD, deschedules it from the Narcotics Control Act of the United States. So you're going to see cannabis companies in Canada investing in hemp facilities. You're going to see a massive explosion in legal CBD in the United States. I think I have a slide here. I don't have it, but I've seen stats where by 2025, you're looking at a $15 billion a year business in the United States alone. So from zero to $15 billion because of this legislation governing hemp. So major changes at the international level governing CBD. I think that once Canada, like you know, so right now we're dealing with the regulations governing edibles and the setting up of this industry and, you know, CBD or cannabis in products. Once we get beyond this, okay, and then we've got an election. Laura and I are political animals, so there's always a political lens to what it is we do. Once we get this election over, okay, I think then you're going to see a big push in Canada around freeing CBD from the constraints of the Cannabis Act, governing marketing, sponsorship, promotion, advertising, and retail. We're dealing with a product that's not psychoactive. So I think even that means that you could see from a retailer perspective, if you're a pharmacy owner, okay, a move towards liberalizing access to CBD products in the same way that you'd be able to go buy your Tylenol on the shelf, you'd be able to buy your Tylenol with CBD on the shelf. So again, major changes coming around CBD, major economic opportunity, and major regulatory opportunity. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, our goal is to be a global leader in this industry. And let's not, you know, Canada's a leader in this, we're the pioneer in this, but there are now 30 countries that have legalized medical cannabis. We have a unique opportunity to capitalize on these export markets by virtue of the fact that we have a mature, well, in cannabis terms, a mature industry that is also well capitalized, that also has a perspective and a focus on international markets. One of the major international markets for medical cannabis is Germany. But when you think of, and the EU, when you think of Europe, the challenge that it faces in getting in the cannabis business is in order to cultivate cannabis in these northern environments, you need hydroelectricity, abundant water, and low-cost labor. Europe's not known for any of those. So we have an opportunity, and I think to basically be leaders in the medical cannabis field and then eventually the adult use recreational cannabis field. There's just too much money and economic opportunity in this industry, and I think when you get all the science and the investment and the R&D in the therapeutic aspects of this product, you're going to see more countries open up and liberalize to cannabis. And I also think one of the things you're going to start to see is the cultivation business itself move to warmer areas, warmer climes. So, you know, when you ask Hexo, you know, what kind of company do you think you're going to be? I one of the answers we often give is we want to be like the McCains of the cannabis business. We don't cultivate potatoes. We develop products, we brand products, we market products, and we bring products to market. That's where I think this business is going. And with that, right on the money, Jill. Half an hour. Happy to take questions.